Hello and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Joe Mont, staff writer for Compliance Week. In this edition, we have another opportunity to chat with Daniel Wager, Vice President of Global Financial Crime Compliance for LexisNexis Risk Solutions. Our conversation this time out focuses on recently enacted customer due diligence demands from the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. Prior to the compliance date of the new rule on May 11th, Wager cited research showing that less than 10% of financial institutions had implemented new written procedures to identify and verify beneficial owners of companies despite the new and pending FinCEN rules. Although those numbers undoubtedly improved, they illustrate both the complexity of the rule and perhaps the procrastination of covered entities. We asked Wager to give us a rundown on the requirements of the rules and where the challenges may lie.
The rule at its most basic requires the collection of beneficial owners of entities which banks acquire as new customers or who open new accounts after the implementation date at a level of 25% ownership or more. And then in addition to that, there is a control prong, which states that in addition to the ownership, a person who may be an owner or who may not, but who exerts control over an entity, such as a CEO or other director-level person, have their identity also collected. The difficulties that this might present is that one of the principal ones is that the entities or the individuals who the information is being collected on are not, in the strictest legal sense, always considered customers of the bank. The entity that is being onboarded, be it a company or other structure that is being onboarded, is the customer of the bank. But the owners who hold 25% or more are not actually, in the most strictest legal sense, considered customers of the bank. So one of the biggest impediments may be that entities or companies that come forward to open accounts may have difficulties themselves, and the banks would therefore have difficulties in collecting copies of government identification that meet the CIP requirement from those individuals who are not themselves considered to be establishing a direct customer relationship with the bank.
In terms of the logistics, how can the demand for better information be integrated into and potentially bolster legacy Know Your Customer and anti-money laundering programs?
Yeah, for most institutions that utilize, that onboard large numbers of individuals and who have been collecting ownership information and fulfilling their CIP obligations, the integration should be fairly straightforward, but they have to ensure that their current processes and the solutions and technologies that support those processes, whether they are their own or whether they are third-party vendors, are built in a way that allows this new information to be collected. Where in the past they may have collected the data points on a few people, in many instances here, you could see the collection of up to five individuals, four owners of 25% or more, and a control prong individual. So there are hurdles. Most will seek solutions from vendors that operate in this space who have already built ahead of the rule to allow customers to use their existing interfaces to add this new information and to verify it according to CIP requirements. So there will be some hurdles. They should be able to be overcome by the engagement of a competent solution provider, or in some cases by an internal build. The biggest changes might be to those institutions that operate at a smaller level, smaller size institutions, or those unique ones that are considered covered institutions but may not operate as a bank, such as a broker-dealer, dealers in securities, and things like that, where they may not have the processes to process as much volume as the rule may now require them to. The new technology piece is very important in the ability to accurately and efficiently verify the identities, as well as the technology pieces which will give banks the operational lift in collecting this information in a more automated fashion if a bank chooses to use the form that has been provided in the final rule, which provides a certification from the customer as to the content of beneficial ownership in the legal entity they're bringing to the bank. Doing that on paper and then transitioning it to an electronic form or manually querying that would be highly inefficient and could significantly negatively impact the processes of a bank and of course the customer experience. So institutions that are looking at this properly should have integrated the data from that form to accomplish the required equivalent certification from the customer, but to do so in an electronic manner so that it can be more easily processed on a volume basis.
Is there a heightened risk in relying on third parties to assist with the necessary data dive?
In a third party space, there's no way of escaping the need for most banks to employ third party solutions and data in order to accomplish what they have to here. An important piece of relief that was provided in the rule in response to industry feedback in the years leading up to the finalization of the rule was that the banks were permitted to rely upon the customer and the customer's certification as to the composition of ownership. Very explicitly, banks are not required to proactively investigate, dive into, and identify these official ownerships on their own unless, and the unless is a significant carve-out within the rule, unless the bank is in possession of information which would give rise to concern about the truthfulness of that representation by the customer. So they were given significant relief there. The banks, big, small, and medium, will all continue to utilize third-party vendors that offer solutions that they currently use to verify the information through non-documentary and documentary channels.
What else might we see emerge from FinCEN as a tool or demand to combat financial fraud?
Well, I think that the instant rule, the one we're talking about, the CDE rule, will give significant lift to the financial crime effort of the U.S. government in triggering regulated entities and covered entities in providing full information. And it should also provide those entities who may not have been collecting information at the prescribed levels of ownership more insight into the true people behind the companies that they onboard. But looking ahead, I think in the near term, what FinCEN will be doing is looking to see what kind of additional detail and richness the information brings to the suspicious activity reporting environment, to see if additional detail flows into that space, which enhances and facilitates government agency investigations. Looking even farther ahead, I would expect that FinCEN will likely act upon its request to Congress, which accompanied the rule, which stated that it was incumbent upon the U.S. to drive the creation of a centralized official ownership repository or to mandate that the states establish them at a level sufficient to meet the government's obligations in this space. It's been an area of significant criticism from FATF. The U.S. has been repeatedly held out as an example of a country where beneficial ownership information is not readily available, verifiable, centrally collected, and made public like some other countries do. So I would expect that that repository, either centralized or decentralized to a standard, may be the next up on FinCEN's agenda for driving this agenda forward. Beyond the written letters of the rule, it's important to note that the acting director of FinCEN last year caused a bit of concern among some segments of the industry when he stated in his comments in a public forum that there may be occasions where banks need to go below 25%. Now, again, most institutions that are heavily regulated or scrutinized currently collect beneficial ownership at 25%, perhaps even lower on a standard basis, and then apply a risk-based approach where customers they have assessed to pose higher risk are applied at a level of 10% beneficial ownership collection. So I would expect that those comments are going to help continue to drive regulatory attention to what are you doing for customers that pose high risk. And this is further enhanced by the rules mention of trigger events, which are not deeply defined, which could occur. Things, I would imagine, their intent is around things like subpoenas, government inquiries, customer complaints, or other, that should drive an institution to go further below 25%. So I think that's the lack of clarity there is shocking to some, but in most cases will not cause significant problems for the institutions.
That's all the time we have for today. We've been talking to Daniel Wager of LexisNexis Risk Solutions about new customer due diligence requirements for financial institutions. I'm Joe Mont, staff writer for Compliance Week. Thank you for listening.